Hey, how are you? And if you say you're fine, I'm gonna assume you mean like the acronym. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So, have you heard the term lifequake? Well, in this podcast, we talk about lifequakes, those unpredictable seismic shifts that, in time, lead to profound personal growth and empowerment. Here, you can expect heartfelt stories that reveal both the joy and the discomfort of unexpected change. And I think you're going to like it here. My name is Sean, and this is Something Shifted. Today's story belongs to Kaylee.
I'm not always okay with being a disabled person. A big journey that I've been on is saying, I am disabled and not I am disabled but.
That's next. I know, you're busy, and planning what your family will eat isn't always top of mind. Well, that's why we love YouCook. And I can give you 50% off your first order. YouCook has really helped us eat tasty, nutritious food, and it saves me from spending time in the shops because they deliver all of the ingredients for my chosen meal kits right to my door. YouCook's always adding new recipes to the website, and I've even picked up some new skills because of their easy-to-follow recipe cards. And because YouCook gives you exactly what you need for each recipe, you never waste any food. I love the convenience. I love the variety and the flexibility of their meal kits because you can choose 2, 3, or 4 different dishes to feed 1, 2, 3, or 4 people and stay in control of how much you spend. Everything on the website looks amazing. So choose from meal kits or ready-made frozen crafts, weekend boxes, desserts, pizza, lunch boxes, wine. They've got it and you can have it for less. Go to youcook.co.za and use my code #shift50 and pay half price for your first order. Go get it, shifters. That's youcook.co.za and use the code #shift50 at checkout to get 50% off your first order. Do it today. Today's story is a little different to some of our previous episodes. We generally meet guests post-lifequake, who've got the benefit of hindsight, and we learn how that big thing has changed the direction of their life, the way that they think. But we meet them on stable ground. Not everyone is on the other side of an event that has changed the way that they see how they fit into the world. And sometimes, we meet someone that is mid-quake.
I live in a lifequake. I say that really positively, right? Like, for those who don't know, I have cerebral palsy, and I am a lifelong disabled person, and a full-time wheelchair user. So that in itself, I think, can be a lifequake for others when they engage with me. But I've done a lot of work to reach a point where I think that my disability is a huge deal to me. And I think it should be.
That's Kaylee. She has a disability, and she's a major Swiftie.
I love Taylor Swift so much. It's very much part of my personality.
Kaylee is the only person I know that experienced the Eras Tour live twice.
I did. I died. It was amazing. Truly, a life-changing experience. I feel like 62,000 people had a healing experience. And like, it sounds insane to say that, but healing experience, when 60,000 people can say, if the patriarchy, that's a powerful moment.
I get it. Taylor Swift has been the soundtrack to most of our adventures with Zoe. Folklore hooked us. And since then, we've enjoyed the back catalogue, the new albums, and of course, all of Taylor's versions.
The song that I'm generally obsessed with at this moment is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? That's such a, like, we're going to go take over the world now, thank you.
Listening to Kaylee speak about this song, it's more than just lyrics set to music. The song is an anthem that she identifies with. But who could possibly be afraid of Kaylee, you might ask?
I'm a very sarcastic human. So I'm accidentally sarcastic a lot of the time. Also on purpose, though. Like, I use it. Like, you can use it. I really kind of like making people feel uncomfortable. Like, it's fun. Because it's really easy to make a non-disabled person uncomfortable. Like, it's really easy. Those people are sensitive. So, like, I find it interesting that we are taught to adjust how we speak about ourselves for the comfort of other people. And we don't need to.
She's right, you know. We shouldn't feel like we need to adjust how we speak about ourselves for the comfort of others. But it is one of the hardest lessons we had to learn as parents of a child with special needs ourselves. Because for years, we crafted sound bites, these sort of understandable chunks of information to make our lives palatable for others. But when your life becomes a series of unpredictable seismic shifts, who has time for making others feel more comfortable? So right off the bat, let's not try and make the lifequake that Kaylee lives in more palatable. Let's call it what it is. Cerebral palsy. Kaylee is a lifelong disabled person, a full-time wheelchair user. And for Kaylee, being conscious of the words we use matters a great deal.
I use disabled person and differently abled. I fully believe that everybody has the right to choose whatever label they want to use for themselves. I think we need to approach it the way that we approach gender pronouns. What are your pronouns? Perfectly acceptable to ask people that. What's your disability label? I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I can't speak for Kaylee's parents, but as parents of a special needs child ourselves, we've had to deal with many what's wrong with hers, and we've even received ugh shames after sharing Zoe's diagnosis. When the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with Zoe. She is fully herself. And you can't accidentally remind us of her disabilities by acknowledging her differences. But you can be mindful of the words you use when doing so.
I have one older sister, and she has a wonderful husband, and they have three beautiful babies. And I'm the only aunt that they have. So that's fun, because they've grown up with disability, and it's not that big of a deal to them. And it's always interesting to watch them. And when they were little, my hands were interesting and not typical, and so they kind of labeled my hands as aunt hands.
Aunt hands. If you were here, you would understand what Kaylee means by this. Kaylee and I are sitting alone. Her straight brown hair is tied back in a ponytail. I must say, I'm surprised at how sleek her motorized wheelchair is, especially compared to Zoe's manual one. Kaylee has this broad smile, and her eyes sparkle with a wicked sense of humor. And then there are her aunt hands. When Kaylee was younger, she tried the prescribed interventions, like using splints to change the shape of her hands. But by the age of 12, Kaylee decided she could do more without them. So here she is, splint-free, and able to knit like it's nobody's business.
But I think what's complicated and what I think is an interesting journey for people who have to figure out what the labels are, we label everything, but we do. Disability doesn't need to be excluded from that very normal process. We label this as a table, so we know that it's a table, and so that other people know that we're talking about the same thing. So I think it's important that we label things. We just need to claim the labels and not be, like, we're trained to be apologetic about it and to add to them. And I think that a big journey that I've been on is saying, I am disabled and, not I am disabled but.
Kaylee is disabled, and she started the Kaylee campaign at the age of 9 to raise funds for her own motorized wheelchair. Kaylee won an International Children's Peace Prize in 2011, and she was awarded the Social Activism Medal by the Nobel Peace Laureates in 2012. Today, the Kaylee Campaign is a social justice organization that serves more than 7,000 beneficiaries every year. Kaylee is disabled, and she completed a master's in human rights law. She's been to the top of Kilimanjaro. Kaylee has completed the Comrades, published a book, and Kaylee has seen the Eras Tour live twice.
I try to not always be the activist in the space, but it leaks out of myself sometimes. I feel like there's so many things that people put onto us as disabled people. I think that's why it was really hard for me to be like, my disability is shit sometimes, because that messaging is so deeply driven by society that we have to be so grateful for every opportunity that we get to exist in a space. And I can't get mad that you didn't accommodate me here, or that, like, you didn't give me a menu because you assume that I can't read it, or that I can't make a decision, or, like, you are shook when I pay the bill at the restaurant, because how are disabled people earning money? What do you mean? Where are you getting this from?
The right to choose your disability label matters. Being asked the right questions matters. And being seen as a whole human with access to the full range of humanness, the good and the bad, matters.
And, like, just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean you can't be an asshole, or, like, it doesn't mean that you can't be a bigot, like, because you are a member of an oppressed group. Like, that stuff is, like invasive, and it can get to anybody. And disabled people are not all the same. I don't believe that there is any kind of coherence within the disabled community in our country.
Psst. Quick reminder that our newsletter, 321 Shift, is delivered straight to your inbox every second Sunday. You can start the week the right way with 3 things for your mind, 2 things for your body, and 1 thing for your soul. Plus, By subscribing, you automatically go into the draw for monthly giveaways. Visit www.somethingshifted.co.za to learn more. And if you're enjoying this episode, remember to give the show a 5-star rating and leave a review. Back to the story. Where were we? Oh, yes. Kaylee was just saying that she doesn't believe there's any kind of coherence within the disabled community in South Africa. Coincidentally, the lyrics of that Taylor Swift song Kaylee likes so much say, "You caged me, and then you called me crazy. I am what I am, 'cause you trained me." So who's afraid of me?
I think as a lifelong disabled person, there's a lot that you learn accidentally and you internalize accidentally. So it took me a long time, a lot of therapy. My therapist works really hard because I'm a problem. We're stubborn over here.
Side note, Kaylee tends to refer to herself as the royal we, which is perfectly acceptable for a queen to do.
So it took us a long time to reach a point where I could say, like, just say the sentence, "I'm not always okay with being a disabled person," right? Because you put out this persona of, like, I'm the positive solution-finding disabled person who's trying to not be an issue to somebody. Like, I want to be in this space. I don't want you to be uncomfortable in this space with me. So I make it not a big deal. It's fine. We'll find a solution. Sometimes it's shit. And sometimes it's really, really hard. And it's okay to say that and to just say that. And to not have it be, sometimes it's really hard, but on the brighter side, like, you don't always feel like there's a brighter side.
Kaylee has reminded me that we seem to expect people to turn their lifequakes into lemonade. It makes us more comfortable if we can tell ourselves that it's going to be fine. They'll be fine. I would be a multimillionaire if I had a rand for every time someone responded to Zoe's epilepsy diagnosis by saying something they think is optimistic, like, "Proteas cricketer Jonty Rhodes has epilepsy, and look what he did with his life." There isn't always a brighter side. And you don't get to tell me about sad. To tell us about the silver linings, instead of dealing with our own discomfort, our own fears, and meeting us right where we are.
I think that that's, like, the beautiful thing about living openly with your disability. Because, like, we're not friends all the time. And I've had to find ways of navigating that, but also making space for it. So, like, I'm having a hard body day. So if I can send 3 emails, then awesome.
Then awesome. And on those days, we celebrate what we can do. But on the days when things get tough and the walls start to close in on us, we need to ask for help, however hard it might be.
Or I'm just like, this is easier and more efficient if you help me. And so I think in that way, we're also kind of indoctrinated into believing that in order to be a productive and respectable person in society, we have to do things all by ourselves with no assistance and completely independently. We're not designed to be independent. I'm very grateful that I have people in my life who have come in and made me, like, broken my brain a little bit. I think that's such a gift that people give to often they don't mean to do it. They just exist that way. And we need to figure out how to receive them better. People are capable of not being assholes. People are capable of accommodating your needs and also recognizing the bigness of your disability without it being the whole conversation. People are capable of showing up for you with what you need them to. Every day you are experiencing microaggressions and we learn to live with them, and we compartmentalize, and we can deal with those things. And sometimes we make a bit of a quake. But I believe that you don't need places to be safe spaces. You need people to be safe spaces.
In my experience, it's been far easier to be a safe space for someone than we tend to think. Sometimes we can get so caught up in needing to have the right words lined up, or worried about not having the answers that the other person might need, not being able to make it better, that we get so distracted with getting the being there right, that we never get around to actually just showing up for them.
I have a friend who we ridiculously decided that I would go stay with him in wilderness for 6 days. He had never fully taken care of me in any kind of meaningful way. We climbed Kilimanjaro together, so he knew, but he'd never been responsible for supporting my needs in that way. And we're like, oh, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, no worries, we'll figure it out. And we just have to be very open and communicate. We're ready for that conversation. I was like, you just have to let me know when you're overwhelmed, and then we can adjust. We can figure it out. We can do different things. We can minimize these things. And we're constantly taught as disabled people to minimize and mask our disabilities and how big of an impact they have on whatever we're doing. So I think it was day 3 or something of the trip, and something happened, and he was facing away from me, and he was like, friend, I'm overwhelmed. Then he said a thing that broke my brain. We've been friends for over a decade, and so he knows all my baggage and complexes. So he said to me, I don't actually want to tell you that I'm overwhelmed, because I don't fully feel that. And he also knows that I have a bit of a burden complex. But I'm ready for that, I'm ready to be a problem. I'm prepared. It's okay, I'm used to being a problem to people. It's fine. This is what took me out. He said, I also don't want to tell you that because I actually feel quite privileged to have you trust me enough to have this experience with me. What? Not in my whole life. I have very supportive people. I have a phenomenal support network. I do everything that I need to or want to do. Never in my entire life had anyone said to me that supporting my 18,000 needs in a day is a privilege to them. Broke me. I'm worthy of you investing your energy in me. I'm not taking it from you. You're giving it freely, and you want to be here. All of that stuff is huge, and all the little things are huge.
And that is what we need when we live with disabilities. Love, kindness, patience. Just like everybody else. And people that are safe spaces when the world is not.
I love that I have somewhat unintentionally created like a web of activists around myself, where they know how I feel about things, so that when things go down, they can react in a way that aligns with how I feel about things. Because I don't believe that it's like, if you don't have the experience fully, that you don't have the right to speak about it. I think that's bullshit. And I think that that's really short-sighted and egotistical. Like, my disability is mine and nobody else's. That's insane. My disability is mine, it lives in my body, but it affects every single human in my life. So me being like, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have a reaction to this insane thing that's happening because you don't live in a wheelchair every day. That's bonkers and nonsense, and like limiting the possibility of advocacy.
I hope you will break someone's brain with kindness today, with witnessing, by bearing with, and learn to receive people who show up for you, like Kaylee Mycroft has, while the ground is shaking. We don't have to do this alone, nor do we have to do it afraid. Thank you for listening to this episode of Something Shifted. We make this podcast as a labor of love. And if you love it, please share it with friends and family. Leave a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast app and write a review for others to find so that they might listen to you. Oh, and don't forget to use my code #shift50 at checkout when you place your first order on youcook.co.za, and you'll pay just half price. Remember to subscribe to our newsletter, 321 Shift, which gives you 3 things for your mind, 2 things for your body, and 1 thing for your soul. Plus, a few surprises, like giveaways, along the way. Many thanks to my executive producer, Rue, and of course to you for believing in possibilities. My name is Sean, and this is Something Shifted.